And finally, to finish this conference, we have Diego Cortes. So Diego did his PhD in the Institut Pasteur here in Paris, and then moved to Lausanne to do a postdoc, and finally get a permanent position in Mexico. And Diego will talk about those scale presentation.
All right, thank you. So we're getting to the end of this meeting. So I want to thank first Tatiana, Ricardo, and Paul for organizing this meeting, and then, of course, for having me in the list of speakers. So what I'm going to do now is, quick advertisement of other work that we are doing in the last couple of years. So we've been working also on insect determination systems and how they are influenced by climate. And we also been working on sex determination systems and sex-specific mortalities linked to Y and W mosaicism of these chromosomes during aging, right? So, but today I'm going to talk more about Susumu Ono, and then one of Susumu Ono's prediction on dosage compensation. So Susumu Ono, probably you all know Susumu Ono, he made one very famous, he made many famous predictions, but one of these predictions was about dosage compensation, and that was related to looking at the different sex chromosomes in karyotypes. So he said, well, he's looked at karyotypes in females and saw they were having two X, large X chromosomes. This is, of course, in mammalian cells. And then he looked at mammalian male cells and looked that they had only one large X chromosome and one little Y chromosome. Then he asked the question whether, you know, probably females look like they have too many genes or males have too few genes. So he predicted that this cannot be such a system, so there need to be a mechanism that balance the expression sex ratio between males and females. And then he predicted already back in the 60s that this element here that we see, that we see specifically in mammalian female cells when we do like microscopy, that was called the Barbary, was in fact an X chromosome inactivated specifically in females to gain balance of expression. And he was correct, actually. A couple of years later, after his prediction, it was found that this body is exactly that. It's an X inactivated chromosome. So basically, what Ono's prediction is something that we're going to look into it in more detail in the next, during the talk, is about this equation. So to get balance is basically to get, independently on the number of copies of your X chromosome, to get more or less the same expression level of the X chromosome in males and females, right? So this is basically, so the ancestral state that we've been seeing over and over in different presentations. So we get, this is the proto-sex chromosomes, and then we see that males and females have the same expression level. And then when we evolve sex chromosomes, and one specifically when we have the Y chromosome degenerated, we see that females maintain, of course, the expression level, but then males will have an issue, and that is because they only have one X chromosome. Okay, so we need to solve this problem. And then, as many people presented already, so we have three different scenarios to solve this problem. So one scenario is that we increase the level of the X chromosome independently where it is, and then we silence one of these X chromosomes. This was the original Ono's idea of regulating X chromosomes. The other possibility is that we just silence one X chromosome in females, regardless of getting back to the ancestral state of expression levels. And the third possibility is that we are going to increase specifically the expression level in males, and so we get a double of expression of the X chromosome in males, and that's how we actually restore not only the balance between the sexes, but also we restore the balance with the ancestral sex, with ancestral expression level. Okay, this is basically what we find in placental and marsupial mammals, and this is what we find in the fruit fly system. What is really interesting about all of these systems is actually the convergence of the genetic elements in the systems. And in all of these three systems, the basically the main actors, the main regulators of the expression level, of the silencing or overexpression of the sex chromosomes are long non-coding RNAs. So in the Drosophila model, we have a long non-coding RNA called ROX2 that's going to be recognized by specifically by the MSL complex. And this together is going to acetylate the histones, opening up the nucleosome and increasing expression level. In both cases, but independently evolved, so we have the cyst long non-coding RNA in placental mammals and the RSX long non-coding RNA in marsupials. Both of these systems, although it has not been fully corroborated in marsupials, they are going to interact with the PRC1 and PRC2 complexes, and these are the typical complexes that are going to methylate our histones and then close the nucleosomes and silence expression. Okay? So we've been working lately on reptiles, and this is like our favorite model. This is Anolis carolinensis. It's our favorite model because we basically this is the, well, until recently was the only available sequence genome in lizards. So that's why we started working with Anolis carolinensis, and also because when the genome of this lizard was published, they realized that this, this lizard had an XY system with males showing one X chromosome, females having two X chromosomes, and males having a very reduced Y chromosome. So many years ago, during the postdoc, I developed a methodology based on k-mers and subtraction approaches that also people have been mentioning lately, where we can actually work on with transcriptomic data to try to recover the genes that are linked to a specific sex chromosomes, in this case, the Y chromosome. So we applied this technique to the RNA-seq data from Anolis carolinensis, and then we detected, so using a bunch of tissues from males and females, we detected very few genes linked to the Y chromosome. Okay, so we detected 7 genes. We did also this for the iguana, the Fiji iguana, and we found that 4 genes were shared between these two species. So that basically gives us around a very old sex-Y system that is around more than 100 years, million years ago that originated, probably around 160 million years ago. That's probably when pleurodonts and acrodonts diverged. So this is a very old sex system, where we have a highly degenerated Y chromosome. So it's an ideal model where we can test onus prediction on dosage compensation. So this is what we did. So we had embryonic RNA data, seq data, and adult RNA seq data for males and females. And then we simply checked on the expression of the X-linked genes in different stages. And then we realized that regardless of the fact that males had only one X chromosome, we see the same expression level in males and females. So in this case, Anolis carolinensis has a perfect dosage compensation system that involves many of the genes of the X chromosome. So the idea was next, so this is mostly about the PhD project of my student, Mariela Tenorio. So whether we can find a cis regulatory element on the X chromosome that might be linked to a specific sex expression. So what we did is we divided the X chromosome in little windows, 50 base pairs, as somebody else did in another project. And then we did read counts on all of these windows and then differential expression analysis to realize whether we can find a loci on the X chromosome that is male biased or female biased. We first did this experiment with, we applied this methodology to other species where we already know there are these long non-coding RNAs that regulate the expression of the X chromosome. So we can easily find the cis locus in human and pig, right? This is all the windows. This is the p-value of the expression, differential expression analysis between males and females. So we have here a clear locus of cyst in pig, in specifically biased in female expression. And then we did this in marsupial. We find the RSX locus, specifically in females, and then other adjacent loci in the X chromosome in females that might be also related to sex compensation in this species. And then we apply this to the lizard. So what we found is actually two nearby loci, that one is specifically expressed in female and one is specifically expressed in males. And this is the basically the same intergenic region when we find these two loci next one to the other one. So we call this, well, this is just the female expressed region on the X, and this is just an acronym for MAJEC, which is the nickname of the student, Mariela. So we just try to find some words that match the MAJECs, because she was really insisting on getting the MAJECs on this long non-coding RNA. So this is a long non-coding RNA. This is data of different embryonic samples and adult samples for the ferrex locus. And then there is something very strange on this locus, and that the mapping is not always on the same region, right? So we kind of see here ferrex, but then we see mapping that goes beyond this region. It's very sample specific. It doesn't make much sense in the sense that we see it more in embryo samples, and then we don't see it in adult samples. So it's like only triggered in embryos, but then it's silenced in adults, except for brain, where we see a lot of mapping. Okay, and it has this very strange triangular shape that is mostly linked to transcripts that are fastly degraded. So we don't know exactly what is ferrex doing. And then we have next to the same intergenic region, but close to another gene here, we have the long non-coding RNA that we call MAJEX. So it is only expressed in embryos and adults, male samples, okay? So we generated a bunch of data on this project to see the functional genomics of, possible functional genomics of MAJEX. So we generated ChIP-seq data for acetylation, which was our ideal marker for genetic changes on the chromatin of the X chromosome to amplify the expression, similar on what is known in Drosophila. So we did the same protocol, so we divided the X chromosome in small windows, and then we did read coverage analysis of males and females, and then we did differential coverage analysis instead of differential expression analysis, right? And then what we see here is that males and in both, this is brain, this is liver, and then we see that generally males have more acetylation signal on the X chromosome. So this explains the overexpression of the X chromosome in males that matches the double expression of the two X chromosomes in females, okay? And then when we get to the MAJEX locus, we see a huge peak of acetylation. So this is the highest peak of acetylation in the entire genome, and it matches perfectly the locus where we find our long non-coding RNA that is only expressed in males, okay? So this is a completely different set of data. So we then did some Hi-C data. So Hi-C, what is intended to do is to capture the association between different regions of chromatin that interact in the nuclei. So we are not gonna have direct interactions in the linear way. We're gonna have a more three-dimensional shape of how chromatin is interacting, okay? So this is how it looks, the chromatin state. So what we see is like we have domains of interaction. So of course, regions that are closer to each other are gonna interact more. This is like the diagonal here is the most of the interaction that we see are these domains. But then what's really interesting is that specifically at the MAJEX locus, we see this line here and then this line here, right? And then what it means is that the MAJEX locus somehow is interacting with everything else on the X chromosome. So what we think is that, what is interesting is that we also see it a little bit in females, right? So we kind of see a ghost shadow here. So these are two different mechanisms. One is the compensation of acetylation that we will see in the end, and then this one that is interacting with everything on the X chromosome. So we also did a very recent strategy that is called char-seq data. And char-seq data, what it's trying to do is to capture, instead of capturing chromatin-chromatin interactions, we're gonna capture chromatin RNA interactions. We are gonna try to make hybrid molecule that is going to be half an RNA molecule and half a DNA molecule. Okay, so basically the idea is that we're going to get two, well, we're going to sequence pair end reads. One of the pairs of the reads is going to be on the RNA molecule that it was in contact on the chromatin, and then the other one is going to be the DNA molecule. So this is ideal to see whether long non-coding RNAs are interacting on multiple regions on our chromosomes, right? So most of the cases that we're going to see is actually we're capturing the regions where a gene is being transcribed. So the RNA of the gene being transcribed is going to co-localize with the locus of the DNA, right? Because we are getting this interaction. So most of the genes are going to look like that. And then very few genes are going to look like having multiple interactions across the genome or across the different chromosomes. And then what we see here, which actually we don't see anything because it's very light, is that we have the, well, what we have is the magic locus here, and then males and females, and then we actually see multiple connections between the RNA molecule and the DNA molecule, specifically in males. We don't see it in females, so we have different associations between the RNA and the DNA, meaning that the MAGEX molecule is in contact also with multiple regions of the X chromosome, okay? So it also matches the idea that we see from the HiSeq data that the MAGEX locus is interacting with everything on the X chromosome. So we also have done a little bit of fish RNA data to try to see how the structure of this MAGEX thing that is surrounding or arranging the X chromosome. So this is a male cells, and then we can see that the MAGEX RNA is making this big stain here. That if we look at this, and then we think about, you know, the image that I presented previously about the bar body in mammals, it kind of like resembles. And then it's like a common thing that many of these chromosomes that are being regulated, they are moving, right? They are kind of migrating from wherever they are in the nuclei toward the membrane of the nuclei, because you need a lot of the proteins that are interacting with the membrane to reorganize and reshape the chromatin of this chromosome that are being either silenced or overexpressed. So it makes sense that we see this MAGEX locus next to the membrane, the nuclei membrane. And then finally, we were trying to see whether this long non-coding RNA, a little bit of the evolution of the long non-coding RNA, as I mentioned before, for many, many time, the only genome available was Annales carolinensis. So we worked with RNA-seq data from other projects, from other Annales carolinensis, other Annales, and then we found almost identical long non-coding RNAs in Porcatus. That is 10 million years of difference between carolinensis and Porcatus. Alisioni, that is 18 million years, and then Discochus, that is 44 million years of separation. And then a few months ago, it was released and published the genome of another lizard that is Celoporus undulatus. And this Celoporus undulatus, basically diverged 96 million years ago. So we went and checked whether we could find our MAGEX RNA, long non-coding RNA in this genome. And then we actually found this long non-coding RNA. It's annotated as a long non-coding RNA on the X chromosome of Celoporus undulatus, exactly on the same position that we were expected to be for the MAGEX in Annales carolinensis. So it's a syntenic region. And then we don't have the data yet, but we're going to try. We have lots of Celoporus in Mexico. We don't have undulatus, which is found only in North America, but we're going to try to work with a sister species and then see whether we see male-specific expression of MAGEX in Celoporus, and then how the other locus, this ferrex bulk locus, is look like in a very distant species. So at least our system, our long non-coding RNA, is at least 96 million years old, which is like a very, very old, like matches almost like the origin of cyst that is also around 100 million years old, right? Or maybe more. So this is our current model of how this system is working. So we see like in embryonic female sample, we have silenced MAGEX locus, and then the ferrex locus is which is next to the MAGEX locus, this locus is activated. So we think it's like a switch regulation, which is like very unusual in invertebrate genomes. So we have like this switch in whether probably if ferrex is being activated, then myx is being silenced. And then ferrex is only there to being activated, so myx is not activated. So it doesn't really matter what is going to happen with the RNA of ferrex, and that's why we see this fast degradation of ferrex. Or maybe there is something hidden inside the ferrex sequence, like a microRNA or something like that, that we are not currently seeing. And then, very mysteriously, when we get to female adults, also the ferrex locus gets silenced. So ferrex is apparently not necessary to maintain the system. It's only necessary during embryonic period when the system is being established. And then in males, we see basically the same in adults and in embryos. So it's a system that needs to be maintained. So what we see is that it's myx being expressed constantly, and then it has a very strong association with the acetylation machinery on the cell. And then what we're seeing is that myx is reorganizing with the help of many unknown proteins yet. This intrachromosomal regulatory domain that makes that the region where myx is being expressed reorganizes the entire X chromosome. So at some point, the entire X chromosome is being relocated to this region somehow. And then in this region, because myx is really associated with the acetylation machinery, it makes the X chromosome being hyperacetylated. So it's like a very dynamic, what I imagine is like a very dynamic process that you bring pieces or regions of the X chromosome towards the myx locus. And then because myx is there being expressed and associated with the acetylation machinery, it's acetylating the X chromosome. And this is a very fast and dynamic process that is happening all the time. That's why myx is always expressed in all tissues and in all stages. So this is kind of like the idea that we have. And so just a quick reminder that I'm in placental marsupial mammals, so we have this system, and then one of the X chromosomes is getting methylated, and then that's hence is silenced. And what we see in Anolis carolinensis is that specifically the X chromosome in males is hyperacetylated. And this, of course, the title of the talk was Convergent Evolution of Dosage Compensation System, because this is exactly the same system that we see in a completely different organism, which is Drosophila melanogaster. So it's basically the same idea, the same chromosome, and the same acetylation machinery that is involved in both systems. So just to finish, I want to, Chris did this phrase that it was written by a friend that is called Agustin Avila, and then he wrote about this project that we're doing. Is Susumu Ono died in January 13, 2000, although he received significant recognition for his work in the United States, Europe, and by the Emperor of Japan. Surely one of his favorites would have been knowing that a lizard fulfilled his predictions regarding the sex chromosomes. And then with that, I want to thank our collaborators and the students that are involved in this project. Thank you very much.